So introducing today a successful entrepreneur, reality star and mum to two, Fern, to the podcast. Welcome, Fern. How are you?
Hi, Kaylee. I'm really good. Thank you so much for having me on.
No, honestly, I've been so looking forward to this chat. As like my audience will know, I've been in a really similar situation with you. So I was a single mum with my first child and then went into having my second one with my now ex-partner, but we were together at the time. So,
you're
so relatable to me.
Oh, I didn't know that about you, Kaylee. So, I think there'll be a lot of similarities in our stories, yes. I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when I had my first, I know how you are with your mum, Jill.
Yes.
I was literally with my mum all the time for the first 3 years I lived with her. So for me, that was quite, like when I used to watch your series, first of all, with you and Sunday, it was just, it hit home a lot because you don't have that emotional support there that you would with your partner. So having your mum there is like solid, isn't it?
Oh, I couldn't do life without my mum, let alone parenting. And she really is Sunday's second parent.
Yeah.
She was just my absolute rock. And I'm so jealous that you lived with yours for 3 years.
Oh,
I lived with mine for 3 months. But now even she's so present even with Finty, my second, and just so lucky to have her, because I often think this. I often think, wow, when my children, if they have children themselves, will I be as good as Jill? Or do you think it's a generation thing?
No, do you know what? I think we pick up and take things from our mums, don't we? And then bring that into our lives. And having your mum so present in their life, I'm sure they'll take away bits from that as well. Have you, one of the questions I was going to ask actually, have you found that hard not having, I guess, I know she is still really present, but obviously with Laurie being there this time round, I found that when I had my second, I was really like, I found it hard to let go, and he would go and change the bum and I'd be thinking, well, you're not doing it how I would do it. And I found it really hard to let go. Did you find that at all? Or were you happy for the support?
I had really mixed feelings, because I think when you're a single parent, first of all, you feel like, do you know what? It comes with its pros and cons. With Laurie, where he was a dad before as well, so I could completely trust him with the nappy changes and things like that. Mm-hmm. And he's very, very good with the children. He's very hands-on and loves being a dad. But of course, we were both coming into it thinking that we knew best.
You know,
we'd both had a child with previous partners, and we're like, do you know what, we've got the t-shirt, we know what we're doing. So I was like, is that going to irritate me when I'm like, you're not doing it how I want? But I think that has definitely been a challenge, because I've had to learn to, like you said, almost let go and know that I have got a partner involved now. I never had anyone around apart from my mum when I was raising Sunday when she was a newborn up until I met Laurie. So it was definitely a completely different experience, completely different. And it's really funny, because I think no matter what, you always think the grass is greener. Whatever situation you're in, you're looking at other people, comparing yourself, thinking, oh, you know, I wish I had that. I remember being a single parent, and you probably feel the same, that you'd look and you'd be like, you'd look at the family unit, or you'd see, I don't know, a dad with their kid in the supermarket or what have you, and it would really tug on your heartstrings, and you'd be like, well, I'm never going to experience that. Then I did, and then I look back and think, oh wow, when I was a single parent, I could make all of the decisions by myself, and I didn't have to ask anyone or put it past someone, or you know, deliberate with someone. But I think I'm actually pleased. I feel really proud that I was a single parent, and I think that never leaves you. It never leaves you. You always count yourself as a single parent, even when you go on to meet, you know, I'm with Laurie now. But I'm pleased that I got to experience both.
Yeah. So let's talk about, obviously, you're going into, with your new series, you've just had Finty. Absolutely love her name, by the way.
Thank
you. How did you find that name?
So I had her name even when I was pregnant with Sunday, it's been on my list. I think I think every girl has got a list saved in the notes, like on their phone, of boys' names, girls' names. Although I struggled with boys' names, thank God I had two girls, because I genuinely don't know what I would have called called a little boy. I had a few names. Anyway, Finty has always been on my list, but Sunday just, I guess trumped it when she was born, and I just loved it. That was always my first choice. And then I really did just manifest over the years. Like, I could always see myself with another girl and calling her Finty and how magical that would have been. And I didn't find out with either of them what I was having. And then, it was Judy. It is Judy Dench's daughter's name, which I don't know if it's her true name or her nickname. But I remember just seeing it once and just thinking, that is so cute. Like, it's giving like Chelsea vibes.
Yeah,
you know, I love like it. Little Finty.
Yeah,
from Chelsea at all. I'm straight up.
No, but that, do you know what? I think that's why I like it so much, because it's just unusual. You wouldn't hear it around, you know, my area. I live in Brighton, and although anything goes here, I've never heard that name before, and it's so nice to have that.
Like, that's I've what got I like my about names.
Yeah. My little boy's called Jude, actually. You're just saying Judy Dench, and we call him Judy all the time. And I'm like, I actually prefer that now, like Judy. I'm like, I love it for a boy. But and it really suits him. But then now I'm seeing that become more popular. But I guess you're going to get that now with Finty. You'll be a trendsetter with that, because, as I say, love it. And I'd never heard
it. Do you think? I've actually met a few Sundays since.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying like I put it on the map.
No, but, I think you did.
Yeah, it's definitely become more popular. But who knows? There might be a few Finties popping up in the next few years.
Definitely. So you saying about your manifesting, I know you're quite spiritual. I love a guided meditation. So I downloaded your app, actually. Absolutely love it.
Oh, thank really you. Really love
it. No, and on your, obviously, series, I've seen that you were manifesting. I know this is the one previously on series 11, but I saw you manifesting your birth and everything like that. And honestly, I was in tears watching you give birth, because I was just like, what an incredible experience, because not a lot of people get that positive birth story. And I think so many people are scared to share that, even because there's so many, you know, you don't want to look like you're gloating almost, but then also you don't want to share bad ones. So yeah, talk us through, because I know the words were that you breathed her out, isn't it?
Yes. I did breathe Finty out, and I didn't realise how much of a stir it would cause when I said that on live TV on This Morning. But some people didn't like it. A lot of the, you know, the hypnobirthing community and doulas absolutely loved it. I understand, and I totally get now, that birth and, you know, just having children in general and how you raise your children, I think it is completely down to you. But I know that it can be really triggering, because some mothers may feel like they didn't get the birth that they'd hoped for, and they tried everything, and they had a negative or traumatic experience. But then I think it's really important that we allow those that look, I feel like every mum has the right to share her birth story, however it happened. And that means that if it was, you know, a traumatic one, or if it didn't go to plan, fine, share it. But I think equally there needs to be a space for people, for mothers, to be able to share their super positive stories. And if anything, more so to let expectant mothers know that it's possible, that it's absolutely possible. And every birth is different, but it is absolutely possible to have a positive birth. And I'm not, like you said, you use the word, I don't want to gloat. I don't want to be like that. I had the most amazing birth and I'm mother up, but because I'm not at all, but I definitely was in a very good headspace. I definitely, you know, I used a lot of visualization, and I channeled my hypnobirthing and my hypnobreathing. And yeah, I guess you could say that I manifested the dream birth. But of course, it didn't go to plan, because nothing ever did. Finty came out way quicker than expected. But thankfully, I really did, on the run up to her birth, I really did practice all the breathing and things like that. I did have a slight wobble where I was like, oh my fucking God, am I going to do this at home? Because I was so pro home birth that I convinced everyone around me, even Laurie, my partner, I was like, no, we're doing this. I was just, I knew in my soul that that was the right thing. I think that like mother knows best, and you're so guided by, like, even if you feel like less movement, you know, as the mother, like, you need 100%. To go to hospital or whatever it is. So I knew I wanted that home birth. I did have a slight wobble, like I said, and then I was like, no, I got myself back in the right frame of mind, and I breathed her out. Like, I literally surrendered. And she, I always say this, Kaylee, but Finty birthed herself. I was just a vessel, and all I needed to do was surrender to what was happening to me. And I love this. Someone once said to me, how can something be greater than you when it is you, when it comes to contractions? And I was like, oh, that just really sparked something off in my mind. I was like, yes, like, how can something be, don't get me wrong, it's bloody painful, but it's so part of you. I just let go. But yeah, it was amazing. I could speak about my birth all night long.
Honestly, like, for somebody that I don't even know to watch it and be like, wow, because with my first, I was very much like you. I was in this zone, and I had my first daughter when I was 18. So I was really young, and my mum was like, she's not going to be able to handle it, because I was like the worst with pain. And I don't know what happened, but I was in the hotel. I wish I was in the hotel. I was in the hospital. And I was just on my, like, how you were giving birth to Finty. Like, I was just like that over the bed. And I just wanted silence. I didn't want anyone to touch me or come near me. And I was just deep breathing. I didn't make one noise. I was honestly, like, and I thought, right, I've got this now, going into my next one. And then I went into my next one and I got induced. And again, like, my friend had to be induced recently and she was panicking. Like, I've heard all these negative stories. And I said, you know what? Mine was actually fine. Induction was fine, and I'd been scared about it, but from me having my first pessary to giving birth was only like 5 or 6 hours, so it went so quick. But because it was COVID, I wasn't allowed my partner there, and they kept telling me I was only 1 centimeter. And as you just said, mum knows best, I knew that I was more, because I was thinking, I'm in so much pain, and I handled this like so well last time. Anyway, I was like, she ran me a bath, and I ended up crawling from the bath back to the bed completely naked, because nobody was with me, not the midwife, no one. And I was like, I need you to check me. Anyway, they've pushed the emergency button. Everyone's come in. I was 10 centimeters and she is still telling me I was 1. And I was like, oh my God, they had to call my partner. He had to like race to get there. And then they were telling me to push. And I was like, I can't push until he's here. So for me, like, the end of it was like traumatic, but I've had a really positive birth one. And I think equally are so important to share. Because on one hand, you get these mothers who've never had any children, and all they're hearing is negative birth stories, and it scares the life out of some people, you know. So I think it's so important.
It is. Like, I'm not a birth expert, but I know that fear, what fear does to you, it makes you tense, it makes you anxious. And that's the opposite to what you want when you go into birth. Like, birth, you want to be super relaxed, you want to be in your flow, you want to be producing oxytocin, which is the love hormone. You don't want to be stressed and you know, releasing cortisol, which is like an adrenaline, which is going to be fighting the oxytocin, which is going to tense and not you know, stop that dilation. You want to be super relaxed. And I love it. Like, I'm so fascinated. I want to be someone's doula. Like, that is going to go on my bucket list, to be someone's birthing partner. But I think it's amazing.
Just going on from there, obviously, I know from your previous series, you mentioned that you had a miscarriage, which I'm really sorry to hear that. How did you find that affected your pregnancy? Did you find that you were really wary the whole way through, or could you actually enjoy it?
I was going through so much at that time when I had a miscarriage with the baby before Finty. And I was so early on that I was able to really enjoy my pregnancy with Finty. Actually, at the beginning, it was hard because I was going through a lot personally, and I was in a really weird place in terms of like we had to move house, and it was a strange time. But I always find that pregnancies, you know, they're blessings, they're absolute blessings. Yeah. And it was a wonderful focus and amazing news to find out that I was pregnant again, even though, yeah, bear in mind, because I can remember exactly when we conceived Finty, because I was like, sorry to go graphic here, but I wasn't on any contraception, obviously I was going to fall pregnant. But I, after the miscarriage, I was like, do you know what? I really want to see out this year. I really want to like just get Christmas done and just be present with Sunday and work on myself and just get this year done. You know, when you get to the end of a year, you've had a shit one and you're like, I just want to get it done. There was so many things. Yeah. And we were in Spain in the October half term, and I was like, pull out. that's when baby Finty was conceived.
Yeah.
I was super happy. Super happy. Yeah. And you just know when you're pregnant, don't you?
But 100%.
Yeah, I think that when I welcomed the new year in, I was like, right, okay, I can really enjoy this pregnancy and I can really focus on it. And I like being pregnant. I genuinely love being pregnant. But it was shit going through the miscarriage. It was sad, and I think that anyone that has experienced a miscarriage will know how disappointing it is, and you desperately will try and convince yourself that it's not happening, and that you'll trawl through the internet to find that it's just like, is it called implantation bleeding?
Yeah, implantation. Yeah.
Yeah, and all of these, you're like, oh no, it could be this, or is it just the beginning of the pregnancy and all of these things? But deep down, I absolutely knew. And then you just have to, I guess, get the, and it's really weird, isn't it? Because you still show signs of being pregnant because it's the hormone that's still in your urine, even if you have had a miscarriage, which is just even more confusing. And then you're left feeling so empty and, it's just shit. And then you think, well, when am I going to be pregnant again? And now I'm going to have to wait. That time in between the months of when you then ovulate and have another period is so long. It is so long, like counting down, just like, and that's why in the end I was like, do you know what, whatever. And I guess when you surrender to something,
I do think when you completely relax and don't have it in your head, like we're trying, I hear that so many times, that once you just let go, it happens. Mm. And, you know, there's people that I know that have been trying and trying and trying for ages, ended up going to book in to have IVF. And then they literally were like, right, we're going to do IVF. So they don't think about it anymore. And then they've fallen naturally. And it's just like incredible that
so
the body
lovely.
Is just relaxed.
Yeah.
And they didn't have to go through that, which is just amazing. So going on to Sunday being a big sister, I know obviously she was desperate to have a girl, so I bet that was amazing when you found out that it was a little girl.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
How has she adapted to life as a big sister?
She has adapted so well. And we cover this a lot on the show, actually, of the recent series, that I think that I spoke about this on my social media today, actually, is that you think, oh, you have this, you're sort of, you've got this guilt thinking, oh, I feel like, yes, Sunday's had me exclusively for all of these years, and you feel like that they're going to feel left out, and you feel insanely guilty. But she has adapted so well. Don't get me wrong, there's been a few moments where I thought, is this a touch of jealousy?
Yeah.
But Sunday's a very resilient little girl. Children adapt, don't they?
Yeah, definitely.
They do. And I think we don't give them enough credit. But she loves it, and I feel like she's you know, got even more responsibility. Like she's carries her everywhere, and she's just, you know, like girls have just got that motherly instinct.
Definitely,
I can trust her. Say if I have to, I don't know, pop to the toilet and Finty's in her high chair or in the front room or what have you. I say, oh, Sunday, you watch Finty for mummy. And she is really good with her.
Oh, bless her. I bet she loves that as well, feeling like she's like included and important in it all.
Yeah. The other day she went to a slime party and I saw the lady say, has anyone got a little brother or sister? And she like put her hand really excitedly up in the air and then like turned around and looked at me with this big grin as if to say, but for me, looking from afar, it was just such a lovely moment because seeing her face light up to announce that she was a big sister, especially where if you've been a single mum and then you sort of lose hope that you're going to have another. And I think I always knew that I wanted to have a sibling for Sunday. So even that, just seeing them together and seeing how happy it makes Sunday has been such a nice experience.
That's so lovely. I know obviously you've got blended family with Laurie's son.
Blending a family isn't easy. And you've got to respect that there's so many different personalities and so much change for the children, like you said, with your daughter being up north and down here and what have you, and then a new sibling arriving. So it's a lot of change for them. But they adapt so well. And I love it. I love our blended family. I really do.
It's so nice. It's so nice, I think, for people to see like a happy ever after, if there ever is one. But like, obviously, they've watched you for so long. It just be you and Sunday. Then they've watched you meet Laurie. And then they've watched you have another baby and you will be a blended family. And I think it just gives other people out there hope. That's what I mean. It's like you're so relatable to so many people. And, you don't always have to see. No, honestly, I mean it. You see all these like, you know, traditional families, and that isn't the case for a lot of people. So seeing people like you out there, you know, it doesn't have to be blood to make a family.
No.
And, you know, it's so lovely to see.
It's so true. I think social media really impacts on that when you see others or other families, like you said, and you feel like a failure that you've maybe split up with a partner or you're a single parent or what have you, and or you haven't got this conventional traditional family. But what is the normal these days? And I used to say, well, me and Sunday, that's my family.
Yeah.
And families are made up of all different shapes and sizes. And I think that's what, like you said, doesn't have to be blood. But,
no.
And it doesn't make you a failure just because. I think it's really, you know, really courageous when you actually do split and part ways and you've got children, because some could stay together for years and it not be right. But actually making that decision, you know, I've never been there, but I can imagine it's extremely difficult.
Well, yeah, I think like you have to put your feelings aside and think, actually, am I bringing them up in an environment I would be happy if that was my daughter or my son? And, you know, that's the decision that I made, is that I was not happy in the environment my children were being brought up in. And I'd rather them be in two separate homes and then be happy than one and me feel like, you know, they're going to end up like me and like many people. My mum and dad split when I was young. And I feel like as an adult, I've had to do work on, you know, past trauma that I know wasn't done maliciously by my mum and dad. But obviously it does have a knock on effect as you grow up, whether you realise it at the time or not. So I think that was very much in my head. And I think, as you say, so many people stay together for the kids. And it's like, actually, you're doing them a disservice by staying together, because they would be much happier having two happy, healthy homes than one toxic environment.
Yeah, exactly.
Just wanted to touch as well on, I know you've spoken openly about your prolapse bladder.
Yes.
Now, I know you've done a lot of work on that. I know you had to do rehabilitation on it. Did you find any that it came back at all during like pregnancy or labour, or has it been completely fine?
Yeah, I do feel like it's sort of come back, if I'm honest. I don't feel like it was bad as post giving birth to Sunday. I mean, we joke and said that when Finty come out the birth canal, she healed my vagina.
Yeah.
It's like a healing baby.
She is
a joke, but yeah, don't get me wrong, people say to me like, how are you running on your Peloton and getting on the trampoline with Sunday with your bladder? Yeah, I mean, I do still experience bladder leaks. I'm not going to lie. I've just learned to live with them, which I know is really bad. I do try and do my pelvic floors, probably not as often as what I should, but it's I d definitely don't think it's a prolapse. But look, it's not normal to have bladder leaks. It's not. I've done so much research and a few campaigns. It's not normal, but it's so common. But I think for me, I don't have. It's more like on impact if I'm doing like the trampoline or doing like a really hard run and my feet are really heavy. Whereas now I can have a brilliant 1 hour workout and not experience any sort of bladder leaks and run around with the kids and not experience any bladder leaks. It's more of like a really large cough or sneeze or something like
Well, that's I think that's the same with many of us, to be honest. So yeah,
that.
you're not alone in that. And I think more people need to be more open about that, because again, it's something that people normally find embarrassing, but the more people talk about it, the like it's not as taboo, is it? So yeah, well
Exactly,
done for
so
speaking up
common.
about it. I know that obviously after people have babies, usually they would end up having maternity leave. I'm self-employed, you're self-employed. How have you found throwing yourself straight back into work and, you know, the mum guilt that comes alongside that as well?
Yeah, well, I have never taken a maternity leave. Being self-employed, I have always gone straight back to work, but and didn't even feel like I went back to work because I never stopped anyways. But I love to work. I love being busy and proactive and productive. And if I'm not, I don't feel like I'm me. So that's definitely part of my identity. But of course, like you see in the series, that I do have this constant game of tug of war where I go to work for my children. I want to be an inspiration for them. I want, to provide a nice lifestyle for them and give Sunday a great education and all of these things. So I'm constantly striving for them and for me as well. Like I said, it is for me working. And of course we've got our mental health app, Shira, so that keeps us incredibly busy. But then at the same time, I really want to be a present parent. I feel like I've just got the balance right. We do a lot of work from home and I feel very lucky that we can. So I do see the children. Well, I was going to say I do see the children a lot. I'm with them every waking moment, but yeah, it can be a juggle. It can be a juggle, and I don't think you ever stop experiencing the mum guilt.
No, I think even if you're a stay-at-home mum or whether you're working, I think there's constantly you have a battle with yourself of what you should be doing, whether you should be more present, whether you should be contributing to your household. And I don't think we're never going to get it right anyway. I think trying to find that balance is really important. So you're on your 12th series now, aren't
Yeah,
you? That's incredible. And Sunday's
insane.
been brought up from when she was born into this, so she's like a little celebrity in her own right now. How is she adapting now she's at school? Does she get a lot of more comments, and how is she finding that?
Well, yeah, we explored it in the show where she completely took me back by surprise and said, "Mommy, am I famous?"
Yeah, I
And
saw that. It's so cute.
I didn't know how to answer it, to be honest. I mean, look, the school that she goes to, there's all sorts of children that go there, from sports athletes to, I guess, all different. So I don't think that she is the what would you say?
The only one in the public eye.
Yeah, no, she's actually not. She really is not. But she knows, like she sometimes says, like, "Mummy, are we on TV?" And now she's so aware of it. "Mummy, why were they asking to take your picture?" Or, "Mummy, how do they know my name?" So it's all of these questions now, which of course I never had to answer before because she was
No.
none the wiser and completely oblivious. But yeah, it's definitely been thought-provoking for me. And it's a new chapter that I've had to think about,
But she handles it well. She seems like she does. I mean, in that little comment in the car where she said, "Mummy, are we famous?" I thought, "Oh, bless her."
Yeah, she's not like super forthcoming Sunday. Like I don't count her as a celebrity, even though
No.
people know that she is, but she's not like this sort of stage pageant queen type girl. Like, she's just not at all. And I just think that they're so innocent, aren't they, at that age?
Yeah, definitely. I know on the show, you and Laurie had your first little date after having baby Finty. Are you finding time to like keep that spark alive? Because I know obviously there's so many other factors that come into it with work and kids and home life and all of that. It sort of always gets put to the back after you have a baby, I think. How are you finding? I know you said you're going away, aren't you? Is it just the two of you going?
Yes, it is. And we're taking Finty as well, where I'm still breastfeeding and Sundays with my mama, which is so pleased about because she just absolutely loves going to my mum's more than anything. But me and Laurie are actually prioritizing date night and day dates more than ever.
Good.
I say that we've been on like on two. It seems like a lot.
Well, when you've got a lot going on, that is, isn't it? Trying to fit it in with everything.
Two this year, and we're now in what? Yeah, coming towards April, the end of April. So two this year. But it's just so nice. We went out for his birthday for the whole day and just went to food market and went to the theatre. And it was so lovely just to have that one-on-one time together.
Yeah.
But I think it is really important. We sleep in separate beds, by the way. I feel like that's quite common knowledge, which I honestly feel like it saves our relationship.
Yeah.
So actually when we go out – it's just us two. It feels like, oh, we've forgotten something. But it has been really good quality time.
Yeah, no, I think it's really important. And as I say, a lot of people do push that to the back of, you know, whatever is on their to-do list, that comes at the bottom priority. But really, you need to make sure that you're both prioritising each other to make everything else work, don't you? And it's hard to get that balance right.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think that, it's always at the end of the pile, isn't it? You're going to prioritize your children first. You're going to, you know, work comes first and there's always something to be done. Like I get to the end of the day and I have not completed my to-do list. So date night. And also you don't want to like babysitting and things like that with my mum. I feel like sometimes, not that I'm taking the mic, but I'm like, oh, can me and Laurie go out on a date? Even though she'd be pleased for us to go and just have a break. But you've got to use those babysitting dates wisely.
Yeah, I mean, look, you've banked some up now, so she's got some day for you while you go away, which would be nice.
Exactly.
And so also your app, tell us more about that. So I downloaded it and done a guided meditation, which was amazing because I've just been like doing it on YouTube. But what was the driver for that? I know you're very into like mindfulness and spirituality. And I know obviously Laurie's on side with you of this as well. How did that all come about?
Yeah, so we knew that we wanted to create something that could help and heal people. And we actually bonded over our traumas and, albeit very different, we wanted to create something that had both helped us, the tools that had helped us individually, and put them all into one place to make it really accessible, really inclusive, and not overwhelm someone when it comes to wanting to work on your self-development. On yourself and and to better yourself with self-development and work on just slowing the pace of life down. We also didn't want to consume much of people's time because we know that everyone's busy. So we believe that doing something each day, whether it's 5 to 10 minutes, is better than doing nothing at all. But yeah, it's growing from strength to strength and we're incredibly proud of it. We've got some amazing features launching throughout the year with Shiraz Trusted Guru, who is our AI therapy companion, so you can talk to it about anything.
Yeah, I heard about this. That sounds amazing.
It's insane, absolutely insane. And it can just give like sound advice, and then there's so many features to get stuck into, from journaling to setting your goals to cleansing away behavior patterns, positive affirmations, daily rituals, like you said, all the guided meditations. There's so much on there. And then we've also launched Shiraz Business, where we take it into businesses as well. So it's a
sounds incredible.
It's a growing startup that is is going from strength to strength.
And you sound really passionate about it. As you say, you've gone through your own things, and it's nice to find something to give back to, you know, to other people that you know is going to help.
Yeah, exactly.
So as we said, you're on season 12 of Fern McCann, My Family and Me, as it's now named. What would you say has been your peak and pit of this season?
Oh, good question. Wow, that's a really good question. Peak and pit. Oh my God, I love that. So does pit mean like when you're just like, no, I've had it
the now. Worst part. Yeah, yeah. The bit that you think, oh God, I could have done about that.
Do you know what? This series has been really fun. Has there been anything where it hasn't been a traumatic series or anything? I feel like last series me and Laurie had a bit of a domestic on camera and people were really shocked, and that was
do you know what though, I actually love that side, because I don't, as I said to you, like, so many people just show off their shiny bits, even on social media. They don't want to put out there any negativity towards their relationship and have people talking about them. But I think actually being so raw and open and showing that side, that life isn't always perfect, but I mean, look at you on this series, like, you've done amazing. And you know, you're, when you're pregnant and you're going through a lot of stuff, like you're setting up your business, you moved house, all of those things, that all has a knock-on effect anyway.
So stressful. And
it would, you know, yeah. So
it was so stressful. I mean, and so many factors. I think I was really nervous about showing that, and it felt very exposing. But you can't hide when you're filming a reality TV show.
Yeah.
You can't self-edit, because people just can tell that you're just acting and that you're just doing it for the camera. But peak of this series, wow, I'm just trying to think what we've done. Peak of this series was maybe finding out that Finty was an indigo child. We went to visit Hayden's Box, who is an amazing astrologer, and he just sort of confirmed everything that I already knew. Finty's very calm, and I'm sort of into that. And she's like this Pansarian water hare. I mean, he is just super knowledgeable. And that was just an amazing moment for me. And then also we had our annual staycay with my besties, Carl and Elle, with Sunday and Finty, even though it was like completely off grid. I think that's actually in the final episode. We went to this shepherd's hut. Oh my God, babe. We run out of freaking solar panel energy, or whatever it's called, electricity.
Oh, no.
So we couldn't charge our phones. We didn't have any light. We just had to go to bed in the end. It was tragic. So that was, but it was so fun. That was so, so fun. And I just love the fact that with this show, we do get some amazing opportunities and get to meet some really cool people. Like, yeah. I feel like with this show, I'm always getting to pick the brains of professionals, whether it's a breastfeeding consultant, to Hagen Fox the astrologer, to weaning experts, sleep therapists. It's definitely the perks of the job.
Yeah, I remember seeing, what was it, you had like some frog, I don't know what it was, frog poison or something. Yeah, and I thought, oh my God, like, the stuff that you actually do within that series is actually incredible. But I bet it's amazing having all these opportunities.
Yeah, no, it's fun. It is good fun, definitely.
One last thing I'll leave it on. We always like to ask what your mamahood must-haves are. So it could be anything, like your favourite product for yourself or the baby, or even like a routine that you do, something like that.
Okay, so my must-haves, well, firstly, I would say it's got to be my Shira app.
Yeah.
Because I'm just using it every day. When I wake up, I'm seeing the positive affirmations. I'm writing a gratitude, and I'm always listening to something positive to get me in the right headspace and mindset. And then I would also say, so the Mum & You nappies are so soft. They're eco-friendly, like really, really amazing products for your babies. What else have I absolutely like rinsed with Finty? Do you know what? My I can't believe this, but I never had like a baby sling when I was a single parent with Sunday.
Yeah.
How the hell? And we lived in an apartment, like in a flat, up and downstairs. And why I never had a baby thing, I don't know. But maybe, I think, yeah, my baby Bjorn, you know, is it called a sim?
Yeah, the baby carrier.
The baby carrier. Literally. I mean, I see girls on Instagram buying the freaking insanely expensive. You know what one I'm talking about. Like,
yeah,
there's
one
that's dog tooth. There's one that's bloody sheepskin or what, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I'm like,
no, I had the same one as you. Lifesaver.
Yeah. Why are these girlies saving their money? Like, when the baby Bjorn is just like wasting their money when you can like save your money with that. And it's we go everywhere with it, and Finty absolutely loves it. It's so easy, hands-free.
Hands-free, especially when you've got another one to hold hands, and yeah, definitely lifesaver. Right, so your last episode is out tomorrow, isn't it?
It is, babe.
On ITVX, and you can catch up on the rest of the series as well.
Exactly. You can catch up anytime. You can binge the whole series if you want.
Thank you so much for coming on. I really, really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, darling. Thank you so much.